Today, Shem Sechta Yuma Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin on the base, four lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous year, the Gemara began a discussion about the water that emanates from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It says the Gemara, Amra Penchas Meshum Rav Huna Tzipra Hamayin Hayotze Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the river, the stream that exits from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, B'tchila, as it starts to emanate from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Doim L'Karnei Chagovim, it's like the antennae that are on the top of a grasshopper, which are very thin. Kivin Shigia L'Pesa Hechel, as they approach the opening to the Hechel, Nasa K'chut Shoshesi, they become like the threads in the weaving machine, which are the vertical threads, which are narrower. Kivin Shigia L'Ulam, once they come to the base of Migdash, to the Ulam, Nasa, they become thicker, K'chut Shal Erif, the horizontal threads. The Kivin Shigia Pesach Hazara, once they come to the Pesach Hazara, Nasa Pipach Cotton, they become as wide as the opening of the mouth of a small pitcher. V'ada Tanan, Rav Lezer Yaakov Ben Azim Yaakov Omer, Mayim V'fachim, the water that's as wide as the opening of a pitcher, Asidin Lis Yoitzin will come out Mitachs Mifnan Abayis. And I saw a beautiful pshat from Chaskel Abramsky Zitzal. Chaskel Abramsky explains that as the water gets further and further from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as they distance themselves from the Kedusha, they become wider and more dangerous. The more a person is connected to Kedusha, is he in a better place? And as he separates himself from Kedusha, he becomes more in trouble. Mikan ve'elech, as the water keeps on going further, Mizgabe ve'olam, they get wider and stronger, Ach Megil LePesach Beis David, until they come to the entrance of the home of David, which is right outside of Yerushalayim. Kivin Shegil LePesach Beis David, once they come to the door of the home of David, Nasa Kenachal Shoytef, they become like a very strong flowing river, Shebay Roichtsin, that people, the following people who have to go to the mikveh, use it for mikveh. We know a Zovin or a Zava have to go to the mikveh, a Nida has to go to the mikveh, a Violet, this is somebody who just had a baby. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, by Yomahu, that day, that water, Yemekar Niftach Lebeis David, Ulushalayim, Lechatos Lanida. The water can be used for the Mechatos. We know that the Torah says that the water that's used to mix the ash of the Paraduma has to be Mayim Chayim. So till that point, that water is coming from the stream. And that water is water that may be used for that water. But once it passes there, there's a concern that there's rainwater mixed into that water. And since there's rainwater included in that water, then at that point it should not be used for Mechatas. Remez, says the Gemara, the fact that we just said that the water becomes strong and big as it leaves, as it gets to the opening of the home of David HaMelech, Remez, the Nida Shetzicha Leishiv at Savar B'mayim, that the water has to be deep, that when the Nida goes to the mikveh, she should be able to sit in the water up to her neck. However, says the Gemara V'les Hilchus HaKavasei, that is not the halacha. The halacha is that we know that as long as a mikveh has 40 saw of water that's halachically acceptable to be the water that could be used for a mikveh, the mikveh is considered a kosher mikveh. We learned in our previous year that under certain circumstances, even though rechitza, washing oneself, is prohibited on Yom Kippur, but under certain circumstances, somebody could walk in water on Yom Kippur in that type of water. Ask the Gemara, Shabbos dikamino. If somebody in Shabbos is wearing a shoe, Mai, what is the halacha? Could we allow him to walk through the water, or must we be concerned that as he's walking through the water, he may take off his shoe and come to carry it in the Rosh Hashanah? Omer Nechemia, and obviously the question isn't asked on Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur they don't wear shoes. Omer Nechemia, Chasin de Bein Asiya, Ani Chazita Rav Amir Rav Asi, Iser Rav Amir Rav Asi, the Matal Urkum and the Mayim, when they used to come to a place of water, Ravru Derech Malbush. They wore the shoe as they passed over that area, and they didn't have to, and they weren't worried that they didn't say it's also to walk over water, to walk through water, and we're not concerned that you're going to have to, that you may take off your shoes. There are those that have a whole different explanation, the Gemara, and they said that they didn't wear the shoes on the feet, rather they wore their shoes like gloves. But we're going to learn the Gemara Pashup Shat, that they walk through the water, and they were not concerned that they may come to take off their shoes. Ask the Gemara, Tenech Mino. So we've proven that a shoe may be worn, even walking through water on Shabbos, because a shoe could be put onto the foot tightly, and there is no concern that the shoe will fall off, and one may come to carry the shoe. Sandal, which cannot be tied so tight to the foot. Now, ask the Gemara, Michael Maimon, why would be that lock on a sandal? Can you walk through water on Shabbos with a sandal or not? Omer Rav Chmoy, Ani Chazitel Ravina, Aiser Ravina, the Ovid Darach Malbush. He wore a sandal on Shabbos, walking through water. So you see that even by a sandal, one can be lenient. Rav Ashi Omer, sandal l'chatchila loy. L'chatchila, one should not wear a sandal. And the way I saw the Sefer Tzoyis HaShulchan explains what does l'chatchila loy mean. That if one is walking out of his house on Shabbos, and he knows he has to walk somewhere, and he knows that where he needs to walk to, he's going to have to pass through water, he should not wear a sandal, because we need to be concerned that the sandal may fall off, and he's going to come to carry it. But if somebody's walking and did not know that where he's going to be walking through it is going to be water, and now he comes to such a place, he can walk through that place. Says the Gemara, Shklusa Ikal Hagrunya. Rav Gluster once came to Grunya, Lebei Rav Nosson, to the home of Rav Nosson. Says the Gemara, Raf Rav Akul Rabbanon, Osla Pirka, all came to hear the shear of Resh Gluster. Ravina Loy Osa. Ravina, however, did not come. Lamachar, the next day, by Rav Rafram, Lefukal Ravina Medatid Resh Gluster. Rafram wanted to try to get the Resh Gluster not to be upset at Ravina for not having attended the shear. Amalei, so Rafram went and asked Ravina in front of the Resh Gluster, "My tamalay asamala pirka, why didn't you attend the shear? Amma havali kavli kari, my feet were hurting and it was difficult for me to walk." So Rafram told him, "Ibay lach lemasen sani, you should have put on shoes and that would help your foot not walk hurt that much when you would be walking. So he says, "Gavad the karahava, the pain that I had was on the bottom of my foot, and I couldn't wear tight shoes. And as we said earlier, a minnow is typically tight." So he said, "Ibar l'chal mimma sandala." So if you couldn't wear a shoe because it was too tight, you should have worn a sandal, which we know, as we just said, is not put on as tight as a minnow. Amalei, so he says, "Urka demai hava b'urcha." There was water on the way, and I couldn't pass the water wearing a sandal. So he says, "Amalei ibarich lamavri derech malbush." You could walk through the water wearing the sandal. "Amalei lesavel alhadam amarashi." Didn't you agree? Don't you know what Ravashi taught us? Sandal chatchiloi. That one chatchilo should not walk through a water wearing a sandal. And the way we learned the Gemara, what he meant to say was that I knew that in the direction that I have to go to hear the shear, I'm going to have to pass through water. And l'chatchila, I don't want to wear sandal when I know I'm going to have to walk. So the Tais Rishonim asks that, did we just say a moment ago that Rav Chama saw Ravina wearing sandal on Shabbos, even though he was walking through water? So we see that Ravina holds that you are allowed to walk that way. So there are a few pshat. One pshat is that Ravina changed his mind, and Ravina agreed that one should not wear sandal when he's walking through water. The other pshat, the way we're learning the Gemara, is very gishmak. Yes, Ravina agrees that if one is walking wearing a sandal, and then he happens to pass water, he's allowed to walk that way. But if one knows up front that he's going to have to walk through water, he may not walk that way. What happened over here, suggests the Mefarshim, is that Ravina, in that situation where he walked with the sandal, didn't know there's going to be water. And he didn't know there's going to be water, and now he encounters the water. That's the case of B'dieved, where he's allowed to continue walking. But in our Gemara, he knew that walking to the Resh Galusa Shir would entail walking through water. And since he knew walking to the Resh Galusa Shir would entail walking through water, he didn't want to do so. Tani Yehuda bar Gergoigris. Also, Leisha Agabatina, where the Gemara continues to discuss what is or what isn't included in the category of Rechitza on Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, Tani Yehuda bar Gergoigris. Also, Leisha Agabatina by Yom Kippurim. One may not sit on top of moist cement, moist mud, because that provides coolness, refreshes you with that water. Arav Shum Malevi, Matinama Tapeches. The only time that's prohibited is if it's moist, it gives off moisture. Arav Abaya, the moisture it has to give off to be considered usur is by Tefeach Amnas Latfiach. It's so much moisture that if you would touch it, you would get so wet that you can make something else wet. That's considered a decent amount of moisture that one may not sit on that type of, connect to that type of situation on Yom Kippur. But if it isn't that moist, it's not considered moist. Amar Yehuda, Mutal Etzdanim Beperis. Somebody could take cold fruit and put it on top of his head to cool off, and that's not considered rechitza. Rabbi Yehuda mitzdanim bekara. Rabbi Yehuda would warm himself up with a cucumber. Rav mitzdanim beyanuka, a child who has a cool body, Rav would put that child on his body to cool himself off. Rav mitzdanim bekasa de kaspa. He would use a silver cup, and by using that silver cup and putting it on his body, he would cool off. The Sikh Yitzchak explains that what the Gemara means to say here is that it's not that there's a machloikus in our Gemara. Rather, the Gemara is giving us different examples of what these Amoraim did to cool themselves off on Yom Kippur, and that all of these methods are permitted. And he brings a beautiful raya. He says, if we look in the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes this Gemara, the Rambam only speaks about using fruit to cool oneself off. Why does the Rambam not use the other examples? So he explains, because fruit has the most moisture from all the various items that were just discussed. And the Rambam is saying that if you're allowed to use fruit, then certainly you're allowed to use all the other items that were mentioned in the Gemara. There's no machlokes, there were just different examples. Amra Papa, Kasa de Kaspa Mole, but if you have the silver cup which is full, then Osir. Because we have to be concerned that the water will spill out over you if it's such a full cup. Chaser, but if it's not full, shari, because then we don't have to be concerned that the water is going to spill out over you. But if it's the pachra, if the cup that you're using is made out of earthenware, idi vidi also, whether it's full or not full, you may not use it to cool yourself off. Mishum the mishkol shachal, the moisture goes through the earthenware, and therefore, the water goes through the earthenware, and it's like you're touching the actual water. Rav Amar Kasa de Kaspa Chosin Nami Osir. That even a not full silver cup is also Osir. Mishun de Mizdarev. Yeah, since it's very slippery, even if it's not full, you have to be concerned that the water is going to spill out on you. Another pshat that the Rosh says, it's not that we're worried that since it's slippery, it's going to spill. We're worried is that as you're moving this cup, even though it's not full, it may spritz some water on your body, and that's why it's usur. Moreover, the Rambam says that even though our Gemara speaks about silver, it's not only silver. It's any metal cup would have the same halacha. The Marshal saying that Rashi says that we're concerned it may slip. So says the Mashal, we're only concerned it's going to slip out of your hand by something which is very smooth, like silver. And therefore, according to Rashi, says the Mashal, the only time we need to be concerned would be by a silver cup, not by other metal cups. Zir b'chama ushbechisna de Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Rav Shuba Levi, the Kohen Bar de Kisri, he was the host of all of these different Gedolim, the great Rabbonim. Omalei. So, Zir b'chama, seller of Yosef Rav Shuba Levi, Ba'arya. Ba'arya is a way of calling somebody the son of a Talmud Chacham, Tamid Chama compared to Arya, to a lion. Ta'aymalach, Milsim Alias Adavar Avuch. I want to tell you what a wonderful thing I saw your father do. But Pachas Hayulab Erev Yom Kippurim, he had a piece of material from Erev Yom Kippur. V'shoros b'mayim, an Erev Yom Kippur, he would soak it in water. V'osanos k'mi kelim neguvim, that he would then squeeze it out to make it moist, but not completely wet. Well, the machar, and on Yom Kippur, mekanach by pan of Yad V'raglav, he would put it over his face. The reason he squeezed it out before Yom Kippur, because as we discussed in the previous year, there's an isser of schita on Yom Kippur, and therefore he wanted to make sure it wasn't so moist that there should be a problem of schita. That's the Rambam's interpretation of Gemara. The Miri's interpretation of this Gemara is that the reason he squeezed it out before Yom Kippur was because if it would be too wet on Yom Kippur, then he would have a concern of doing rechitza on Yom Kippur. Well, the Malcham Kanach by the one of Yad V'raglav, the Tishabov, an heir of Tishabov, Sharos B'mayim, he soaked this piece of material in water. The Ulamachar Mavir al Gaba Enov, and the next day he would put it on top of his eyes. So certainly, if we think, if we say the Pshat and the Gemara is because of Schita, then it's very easy to understand the difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur, where there's an Issa Schita. Yom Tisha B'Av, there is no Issa Schita, so he didn't have a need to squeeze it out. But even if you'll say that the reason he squeezed it out is because of Rechitza, and Tisha B'Av Rechitza is also Osir, since he only did it to take off dirt from his body, that's why he felt comfortable in doing it in Tisha B'Av. V'chein, k'yosu rava b'meri, ama b'erev Tisha B'Av, mevilaim et pachas, they would bring to him a piece of material, v'sharos b'mayim, and soak it in water, v'menichai tachas m'reshoysov, he would put it under his head in a place where it wouldn't get completely dried up, v'lamach v'kan upon yod v'raglov, and the next day he would wipe his face and his feet, his hands, b'erev yom kippur mevilaim et tachas. But when it came to Erev Yom Kippur, they would bring him a piece of material. Sharos b'mayim, he would soak it in water. Vaisanos k'mein kelim neguvim, he would make it that it should be only minimally moist. L'machem b'vir al gabe enov, and then he would put it on top of his eyes on Yom Kippur. Amalei, Rav Yaakov, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Techlifa, Ifcha Martlan, but you told us just the opposite, that for Yom Tisha B'Av, they would make sure that they would completely squeeze out the liquid. In Yom Kippur, you didn't tell us that they had to do that. The Simnach Schita, and we asked you that how could you suggest that we could be more lenient by Yom Kippur than by Tisha B'Av, where by Yom Kippur there's a concern of Schita, and by Tisha B'Av there is no concern by Tisha B'Av. So the Tosfos Yeshanim explains, why would it be more machmer on Tisha B'Av than on Yom Kippur? So he explains that Yom Kippur is a deraisa. Tisha B'Av is a derabbanan, and we say often in Shas, divrei soifrim require tzrichim chizik yoisim divrei Torah. In order to show the seriousness of Tisha B'Av, albeit that it's only osim derabbanan, that's why they treated Tisha B'Av more stricter. Another pshat that the Meiri suggests is that the obligations of Yom Kippur and the obligations of Tisha B'Av, although they're similar, come from different places. On Yom Kippur, there's a din of inui. On Tisha B'Av, there's a din of avelus. And avelus is stricter than inui. And that's why he thought that there should be more machmer on Tisha B'Av than on Yom Kippur. We continue discussing the halachas of inui Yom Kippur, but the Gemara brings other shaylas that came up in the course of discussing these shaylas. The halacha is that if somebody has a bechor behema, that means a kosher animal has a firstborn child, which is a male, the kohen must be given to the kohen. Bezman shebeis midrash yekayim, the kohen would take that animal and put it on the mizbeach, and it's treated essentially like kachim kalim. But if the animal had a mum, then it's chulin. The animal still must be given to a kohen, but the halachas are very different. The kohen can eat it wherever he wants. He could give it to whoever he wants. Bizman shei beis hamikdash kayim, nowadays when there's no beis hamikdash, and a person has an animal that's a bechor born to him, what he should do is give it to the kohen, and the kohen has to take care of this animal until it becomes a balmum, and once it becomes a balmum, then the halacha is as we just stated. Amram Menashe bar Tachlifa, Amram Rabba Babachana. Shalos Rabbi Loza, the Asher Rabbi Loza, Zokin, you have an individual who's a great Talmud Chacham, for Yoshebi Yeshiva, he's a member of the Sanhedrin. Tzarech Litul Shustos, you have to get special permission from the Nasi, Lahat Bechairis, to be able to say, Paskin, to be able to say that this Bechor is a Balmum, and the Lochus of a Bechor Balmum apply, or ain't Tzarech, is the fact that he's a member of the Sanhedrin enough they should be able to Paskin the Shilas without special license. Says the Gemara, Makam Ebailei, why is there a question? Should it not be obvious that since he's a member of the Sanhedrin, he should have this license? Says the Gemara, Makam Ebailei. The question is, Kihada Amar Rav Idi Ravin, Davaza Anichu Lahem Lebein Nasiya, Kedelis Gadaba. This was left over for the Nasiyim that they should become more significant, that they have the license to decide which animals are Balmum, and they're the only ones that could decide who could paskin such shaila. And therefore, tzarech litul shus. So even though this person that wants to paskin the shaila is a member of the Sanhedrin, still he has to get special permission from the Nasi. Adil Makivin the Zokin, since he's a member of the Sanhedrin, the Yoshebi Yeshiva, he doesn't have to get any tzarech, he doesn't have to get special license. Amar Rab Tzadik ben Chaluka, Raglav Amar. Ani Re'isi as Rab Yosef ben Zimra, Shazaka V'yoshe B'yeshiva, he was a Talmud Chacham that was a member of the Sanhedrin, V'amad B'mal M'zikne Shalzeh, and he was standing in front of the Nasi in his time, the grandfather of the Nasi, of the current Nasi, who was the Nasi at that time, and not the Rishos Lahat B'chayrus. He went to get special permission, license, to Paskin on B'chayrus. So we see that you need to, everybody has to get special permission. Amalei Rav Abba, loy kacha yamaisa. You have the story wrong. El kacha yamaisa. Rav Yosef ben Zimra koin haya. Rav Yosef ben Zimra himself was a koin. Vach kamei b'alei. And he had the following question. Halach Rameya, is halach like Rameya the Amma who says Masechta b'chayris, daflam and heyom and aleph, hachoshe b'dover, somebody who we could accuse that is not honest regarding a certain matter, because he has partiality, cannot be a dayan and cannot be an aid, and therefore a kohen, who they were always concerned, the kohanim will say that a mum is a mum, even though it's not really a mum. They're going to make a mum in a bechor in order that they shouldn't have to be busy taking care of the animal. That's why a kohen can never be the rav to paskin the shaila on hilchas bechayrus. Adama, and that's the opinion of Rameya. Adama halakram shem gamliel adama neman hu al bechor shel chaveroi. That even though you can't say testimony about your own bechor, because there certainly you are nogei bedaver, veina neman shel atzmai. He's trustworthy about somebody else's bechor because, as the Rishonim explain, ein adam chayt b'shvil acher. Nobody's going to do an aveira, make a mum an animal, or testify that a bechor, that it's a, or paskin that it's a mum, when it really isn't a mum, when he has nothing to gain. Or partially, and the halacha was the halacha of Shim Gamliel. The halacha of Shim Gamliel, and a kohen could paskin the shaila. So in other words, as I saw the Rabbi Chananel explains, everybody saw that Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra got permission from the Nasi. The question is, what was the permission that he received? Did he receive permission because everybody, no matter who you are, Talmud Chacham, member of the Sanhedrin, still needs to get permission from the Nasi? and therefore we have a rai that everybody has to get permission from the Nasi, or it's pshat that what he got permission from the Nasi, it means to say that he went to the Nasi to ask if I as a Kohen could pass in this Shaila, and the Nasi told him, yes, you could pass in such a Shaila, even though you're a Kohen, because you're not passing for yourself. Another question, which is related to Yom Kippur, they asked Rebbe Elazar, Ma lotzei is besandal shel sham, if a shoe that's made out of straw, Yom Kippurim, is that considered a shoe and you're not allowed to wear it? Or it's, since it's not made out of leather, it's mutter to be worn? Om Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachmani Araglov, Vama, Ani Reisis Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Shiyotze besandal shel sham b'Yom Kippurim. I assume that he walked with that type of a shoe on Yom Kippur. Vaminilei, and I ask him, but Tainus Tzibur, the Gemara Masechta the Tainus discusses at great length that what happens if the time for rain comes in Eretz Yisrael and it didn't rain, they start decreeing a series of fasts, and at some of these fasts, the halacha is, one may not wear shoes. And the question is, on the Tainus Tzibur, can you wear such a shoe? May one wear such a shoe? And the question goes back to something we said earlier. The question was specifically asked about those Tanesim because either it's since it's only Midrabanan and Divrei Soferim Tzar Chizuk Yosem Shal Torah, and therefore maybe we should be strict about those Tanesibur. Another pshat that the Sish Yitzchak explains, similar to what we explained earlier, is because a Tainus Tzibur is, we're fasting because we're Betzar. Yom Kippur is not a day of Tzar. And therefore the question was on a Tainus Tzibur, which a day of Tzar, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to wear even this type of shoe. Vomeli Loishna, both on a Yom Kippur and on the Tainus Tzibur, one may wear such a type of shoe. Om Rabbi Bachana, Ani Reisis Rabbi Lazar de Meninve, Shiyotze Besandos Hashan Betam Tzibur. I saw him wearing this type of shoe on a Tzav Tzibur. Vamele B'Yom Kippurim. And he asked me the other way around, what's the din on Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is Nisa Daraisa, and maybe therefore we should be stricter on Yom Kippur. Vamele Lo Shno on a Tzav Tzibur, which is a Drabon on Yolat to wear such a shoe, and Yom Kippur as well. Rabbi Yehuda Nofik B'dehitni, Rabbi Yehuda would wear a shoe made out of straw. Abaye Nofik Behutzi, made out of the branches of a palm tree. Rava Nofik with a shoe made out of grass. Rabbi Babahana Kurach Sudra Kariv Nofik, he would put a piece of material around his feet and walk that way. Because all of these, since they're not leather, they're not considered shoes and are permissible to be worn. Masra Rabbi Bechama. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Hakiteya, somebody who's an amputee that's missing a leg, Yoytze B'Kav Shaloi, he can walk out with his prosthetic on Shabbos, because even though on Shabbos you're not allowed to walk, but wearing a prosthetic is like wearing a shoe. And just like one may walk out wearing a shoe on Shabbos, one may walk out wearing this Kav Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, since it's not a typical shoe, it's only a shoe that's worn by this type of individual, Oyser. It's not considered a shoe, and since it's not considered a shoe, it's not considered a minnow, and you may not wear it on Shabbos. But Tanalo, but the Brisa continues, that everybody agrees, also Lot says Babim Kippurim. So we see that if the Kava Kiteya is considered a shoe, all these other type of material shoes that we have now discussed should also be considered a shoe. And so why are we learning that any other type of shoe besides a leather shoe may be worn on Yom Kippur? Amar Abaye, to which Abaye responds, Hasam this big titan, this soft material, umeshum tainig, and therefore on Yom Kippur you can't wear them, not because of the issue, there's a special issue because they're so comfortable. Amle Rav, Vilav Manahu, if it's not considered a shoe, Katit the Majvali Mana, is the piece of material going to make into the shoe? Void, Kol Tainig, the Lav Minahu. Are you going to tell me that if just something which represents enjoying even though it's not wearing a shoe, b'yom kippur mi'osur, are you going to say that it's also on Yom Kippur? Rabbi Rav Huna avakarach sudra kari. We just learned that Rabbi Rav Huna would put a piece of material around his foot for nafik and walk out on Yom Kippur and not be concerned that it's too much pleasure. V'ay miktani seifa. We learned at the end of the sefer im yesh loy beis kibbutz katan that if this false, this prosthetic has a place where you could put in shmatis tameh, then it's royal kabbalah's tumah. Because the halacha is that the Torah, when it speaks about the tumah of a kli eitz, compares the tumah of a kli eitz to a sack, to a bag. Now we know that when we speak about a bag is something that has a receptacle. So here too, if this prosthetic has a receptacle, then it's tameh. Mechlal dereisha, that the beginning of the braisa is not talking about where it has a place for the ketitim, for the soft material. Lav b'de isle ketitim skitim, and still, it's not allowed to be worn on Yom Kippur. So we see that the issue has nothing to do with comfort. It has to do with what is or is not considered a shoe. It says the Gemara, Elo Amarav Eloilam Tekulam Aminalu. Everybody agrees that this prosthetic is considered a shoe. U'b'Shabbos b'ha pligi, and that's why we can't wear it on Yom Kippur. Because, as Rashi explains, it was made with leather, and since it's made with leather, that's why it's also to be worn on Yom Kippur. Shabbos the machlokes mar, Rabbi Yossi holds that it's considered a shoe, but the Gezrin and Dilma Mishtamet were concerned that it may fall off his leg, Vosel Asuyei, and that's why on a regular Shabbos we may not wear it either. Or Abba Amos, you may come to carry Dalar Amos, or Mas Rav Leg Gezrin, we need not be concerned. So we just finished learning the halacha about wearing shoes. And the question is, if shoes made out of other material than leather, are they considered shoes? The Baal Amar holds that all types of footwear based on the maskon of the Gemara are considered shoes, not only if they're made out of leather, and therefore he says that you can't wear any type of shoe on Yom Kippur, even if it's not made out of leathers. And in fact, the Bach says that a number of his rabbeim would be makbid not to wear any type of shoe on Yom Kippur and would walk barefoot on Yom Kippur. Rashi seems to indicate that the Gemara, as we explained from Rashi, distinguishes between wooden shoes and other non-leather materials. Wooden shoes, as we just said, especially as Rashi might have said, they were covered with leather, are considered shoes. Other non-leather material are not considered shoes. The Shulchan Aruch, however, paskins like the Ramban, the Rif, and the Rosh, who says that all non-leather footwear, no matter what type of material, even if they're made from wood, it doesn't make a difference. They're not considered shoes and may be worn on Yom Kippur. However, the Ramban asks a question that even if we're going to say that wearing shoes not made of leather is not a violation of the Isser of Nila Sandal, is not a violation of the Isser of wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, but if it's not considered a shoe, so on Shabbos we know we're allowed to wear an article of clothing. Malbush we're allowed to wear on Shabbos. But if it's not considered an article of clothing, maybe it should be considered a masui. And therefore, it should not be allowed to be worn on Yom Kippur because we're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. So the Ran explains that only on a regular Shabbos where everybody wears leather shoes, so a different type of shoe is considered a masui. But on Yom Kippur, since everyone wears this type of shoe, so therefore this is considered a shoe on Yom Kippur, and therefore it's a big chiddush, the Ran is saying, that all year round, these shoes are not considered shoes, and therefore may not be worn on Shabbos, because they're considered a masui. On Yom Kippur, just the opposite. Since these are the only type of shoes one may wear on Yom Kippur, so on Yom Kippur they're considered shoes, and may be worn on Yom Kippur. But there's a very big chiddush that the Minchas Chinuch says. He says that if somebody wears leather shoes on Yom Kippur, besides the Isser of wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, the Isser of Nilas a sandal, since one is not allowed to wear that type of shoe on Yom Kippur, so you can't call that shoe on Yom Kippur a Malbush. that's considered a masui on Yom Kippur. And therefore, he paskins quite interestingly that on Yom Kippur, if one is going to wear a leather shoe, besides that he's over the Isser of wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, if it's a place that there is no Erev, he will also be over for carrying on Yom Kippur. Tanu Rabbanan, Tanaikis Mutarim Bekulam, the Tanaikis we learned in our Mishnah, Dafayin Gimel Amabez, that Yom Kippur, Achil, Ashtir, Rechitz, Vesicha, Arul, Asur, Chutz Menil, Sasandal. They're not allowed to wear, and the Gemara is going to explain that shoes they're not allowed to wear. So the question now is, when we just learned in the Braisa that all the other Inuyim are Mutar Yom Kippur, what does that mean? The halacha is, the Torah says, Loi soichlum kishekutzeim. When the Torah speaks about the Isser of eating shkotzim, the Torah says, Loi soichlum kishekutzeim. And the Gemara explains in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, Loi soichlum atikru, Loi soichlum aloi soichilum. That we're not allowed to feed a child something, even though he's a child, he's not yet bar or bar mitzvah, we're not allowed to feed him something that we're not allowed to eat. So, now the question is, what about feeding them food on Yom Kippur? Mashna Nilas Asandal. So the Gemara is assuming that why may children not wear shoes on Yom Kippur? Damri the Incha Avdalei. Because if we'll see a child wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, we're going to say that the adult put the shoe on. An adult is not allowed to put on a shoe on the adult who may not wear a shoe himself, may not put a shoe on the child. So ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, Hanech Nami, washing oneself, why do we allow a child to wash himself? Amri, if we'll see a child washed, we'll say, Inchi Avdalahu, that somebody else did it for him. And therefore we should say it's Asur. So the Gemara is learning now that the reason children aren't allowed to wear shoes because we're concerned that people are going to say that you put the shoe on the child. So if that's the case, Rechitz V'Sicha, we should have the same concern. Answers the Gemara, if we see them washed, we're not worried about that. Amar, because we'll say Me'esma Avdalei. They were washed before Yom Kippur, not that the adult washed them in Yom Kippur. So if that's the case, so by Sandal Nami, if we see a child wearing a shoe in Yom Kippur, Amar Me'esma Avdalei, that they put on the shoe yesterday, not on Yom Kippur. And says the Gemara, Sandal Efshad Me'esma Avdalei. By shoes, it's impossible to say that the shoe was put on before Yom Kippur. Domishmu, Kushmul has taught us, hide man the boy lemitn tamid mesusa. If somebody wants to have a taste of death, l'sayim mesani, he should put on the shoe v'ligni and go to sleep. And you're not supposed to sleep wearing shoes. So if you see the child wearing shoes on Yom Kippur by day, it must be that the shoes were put on Yom Kippur. The Rishash asks that the Beis Yosef quotes the Sefer Trumos that the way the meaning of the Talmid Chachamim was that they didn't take off the shoes all week long because of Bittul Torah. And here we're saying that you're not allowed to sleep wearing shoes. So the Tosfos Re'eim explains that if you sleep Oshinas Kva, going into bed and going to sleep, that you're not allowed to do wearing shoes. But if you sleep a temporary sleep, you fall asleep at the table while you're learning Gemara, that is not an issue if you're wearing shoes. Ask the Gemara. So, till now we're learning that the cotton could eat and drink or wash himself on Yom Kippur, but an adult may not do that on his behalf. But ask the Gemara, the wording of the Braisa does not indicate that that's the pshat. Because the Braisa says mutarim lechatchila ktani, so doesn't that indicate that that's not only that they could do it for themselves, but you even allowed to give them to do it? El says the Gemara Hanach the Lav Rav Asayu, wearing shoes is not that critical for the welfare of the child. So Gozer Rabbanon Chazal said that they shouldn't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. It's no big deal if they'll miss wearing shoes one day Yom Kippur. Hanach. But when it comes to Rechitz and Sicha, the Rusayahu, which are critical for their development, there, Loi Gozber Rabbanon, and Chazal said that they're allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Dama Abaya, Amali Aim, Revisa de Yunuka, how was it? We know Abaya was raised, his parents passed away. Abaye stands for Asher Becho Yerucham Yosem. Abaye was a Yosem, he was an orphan, and he was raised by a nurse. And he says, my nurse told me, the Revisa the Yanuka, who raised me, told me, Revisa the Yanuka, the way a child gets properly developed is Mayim Chamimi, having hot water to wash him, or Mishka, and smear him with oil. Gadol Porta, he gets a little older, Be'isa B'Kutcha, he should eat egg in a dairy dip called Kutach. Gadol Porta, when he gets even bigger, Taburi Mani, they should buy him different types of utensils that he should break. And that will get his anger out of his system. Says the Gemara Kihar, the Rabba, Zav Lomani Gaziza the Pachal of Nei, he would buy broken earthenware dishes for his children, and they would break it. He bought broken ones because there would be no baltashkas. They were really not worth much. And this is something he felt his child needed in order to express his anger, and that is part of the way to properly develop the child. We learned in the Mishnah, Melech Akala, Yirchat Suas Peneim. A Melech and Akala allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur. Masnissen says that our Mishnah that says that the Melech and Kala can wash their face on Yom Kippur, Mani, whose opinion does this follow? Says the Gemara of Chananya ben Tradyanhi. It follows the opinion of Chananya ben Tradyan. And the reason the Gemara is looking to find who is the Tana, because we need to know if it's the Chachamim, if this is the opinion of the Chachamim or not. Because if the Chachamim will disagree, it'll be a situation of Yochid v'Rabim. We have a Yochid versus a Rabim, where we know the Halacha is always Halacha k'Rabim. The Tanya Melech Akal lo yachtzu yis p'neim. The Tana Kam and the Chacham hold that they may now wash the face. Rochananya ben Tradyan oimim Mishum Rebeleza Melech Akal lo yachtzu yis p'neim, they may. Hachaya, a woman who just had a baby, loitinos a sandal, may now wear a shoe. Again, as we just learned, wearing a shoe is not that critical, and therefore she may not wear a shoe. Rochananya ben Tradyan oimim Mishum Rebeleza Hachaya tinel as a sandal, she's allowed to wear. She's allowed to wear a shoe, because anything that we need to help her, we're allowed to do. I did see a very interesting pshat. When it says a chaya, we always learn the chaya means a woman who just had a baby. But I did see a pshat that a chaya means a woman who's a midwife. And since she has to be available to take care of any woman who goes into labor, we let her wear shoes so she'll be able for to easier for her to get to her patient. My tama melech. Why may a king wash his face on Yom Kippur? Shem Diksiv, the pasuk says, Melech b'yofya techzeneh melech. There's a special rule that a melech should be look beautiful. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, the pasuk says, Tzoyim tosim alecha melech, and the definition of Tzoyim tosim alecha melech, shetehei emasa alecha, that we have to fear the melech. And the way a person who's dressed in a very respectable manner is a person that we fear more. Kala Maitama, why are we lenient by Kala? Kadesh Laitizgana Abala. We want her to look beautiful in the eyes of her husband. And a Kala, asked the Gemara Amalei of Rabbi Rabchi Kala at Kama, until when, how long is a woman considered a Kala? Amalei Kretanya, Eimayim Tachshitim in a Kala. The Aloch is the Gemara Masech Tuxubis. The beginning of Masechta Daf Gimel teaches us, Rachman Otzlon, if you have a chasen and a kala, the wedding is all prepared, and then the chasen or the kala become avelim. We have a wedding, we have sheva brachas for this chasen and a kala. And the Braisa teaches us there, Eim Moinim Tachshitim and a kala. So this girl is Nebuch and Avelis, but she's a kala. Because as we just said, she was supposed to get married, and she did get married. And the halacha is that she's allowed to wear all the regular jewelry that a kala wears, even though she, unfortunately, is a velus, kol shloshim yoyim. So the same rule that applies by Yom Kippur, the same rule that applies by a velus, applies by Yom Kippur. We learned, hachaya tenel sasandal. The chaya is allowed to wear shoe, mishum tzina. And the pashpashat in the Gemara is, because the floors in those days were very cold, and if she's going to walk around barefoot, or even not barefoot, but not with a good shoe, we're concerned that It's going to go into her body, and since she's weakened, she's in a weakened state because she just had a baby, she may chas v'shalom get sick. Amar Shmuel, im machmas sakonas akriv, if there's a concern that where you are, there may be snakes that are on the floor, and if your foot will be exposed, it could cause danger, the mutter, then everybody could wear a shoe under those situation. And the halacha, however, is that they only in a place where Tosfos in Kippurim says where there's a vadei sakana, where we know for sure that there are snakes in that area. But when it's a safek sakana, one should do something else, but not put on regular shoes.